Thank you, Justin and Lisa. Appreciate that. And it's okay, you need a restart, because this needs to be a place where we can be authentic, where we can be real and not have it all perfect. We can get dressed up, maybe fancy, and make it look like we're all good on the outside, but let's be honest, right? We're all broken and we're in need of a Savior. That's why we're here. And none of us have it together on our own. And This is a couple days after Christmas, and some of our young adults are home from college and university and whatever else. And so I want to invite Caitlin Penner and Aaron Thiessen up. I emailed several people. Yeah, if you can come up now, that would be great. And if you can each grab a mic over there and we'll sit down. We'll have a different sort of service here. We have what we call missions moments and testimony times sometimes. Sometimes we do have an offertory. Offertory is where they can practice and get used to playing in front of people a musical instrument. But a testimony is a powerful way of serving God as well. And so I sent out an email, and we have two brave young adults here, students, that have responded. And so I've got a series of questions for them. You know, we live in a real interesting time. There you go. He's getting you guys to turn them on. And is it on? And it's, you know, it seems all so nice at Christmas, doesn't it? You know, people are more willing to come to church or talk about spiritual things or sing Christmas carols and stuff. But really, we live in a society that's antagonistic to the good news, to gospel, to that there is truth. And as a church, we need to become even more and more intentional and better at making disciples, as I was mentioning earlier, that when we make disciples, we actually send people out able to be multiplied and make disciples as well. And we need to get better and better at that, more specific and strategic and working together at that. And so part of our training is learning what has worked, what's been meaningful as we've sent students out, and what would be better. And so I've got a series of questions here. You guys have seen most of these. Don't have to have them memorized because I can read them. And a couple of my goals for this service is that we would grow in our understanding of some of the current challenges that are faced by students and grow in ways that we as a congregation can better support our students. I don't know if you know this, but February is the highest month for student depression and suicide and all sorts of things. Thus, they move spring break. It's not usually during Easter. Not only is that a cultural reality where culture doesn't celebrate Easter anymore, but it's the reality of people hitting a really dark time in their life. And sometimes we're pretty oblivious to some of the challenges going on in a student's lives. And how can we equip those that were in relationship better? How can we support them and encourage them for the long journey, for facing life as it really is? And life, frankly, is way harder than it was supposed to be, right? There's death and dying and sickness and disappointment that we shouldn't have had to face, but we do, because Genesis 3 happened and all of us have rebelled against God. But praise God, He come in the form of a baby and He makes a way we can know Him. So, if you can just introduce yourselves a little bit. We'll let ladies go first. Aaron's going, yes. introduce yourself a little bit, how you're connected to this congregation, and where did you go, what schooling, whatever, when you left Coaldale here?
So my name is Caitlin, and I came to this church a year and a half ago in the youth group, and I got baptized here about a year and a half ago, and I go to Columbia Bible College in Abbotsford, and I'm taking a Bachelor of Arts in Youth Work and a minor in Biblical Studies.
Excellent, thank you. Columbia, I've had more interaction with some Bible schools. Beverly and I, when we were with Venture Teams International, would travel around Western Canadian Bible colleges and universities and wherever else they would let us in, usually twice a year. And you get a real sense for a school. And I've always had a really strong sense for Columbia as well as Miller, where Aaron is at. I'll let you introduce yourself further.
I'm Aaron, and I'm the son of Larry and Joyce Thiessen. I'm connected to this church because it's where my parents go, and this is my dad's home church, and pretty sure this is their home church while they're in the Philippines. I haven't been here a while, but it's always nice to come back here. I'm going to Miller College of the Bible, as Pastor Gary explained, and I'm planning to take a one-year course just to familiarize myself with the Bible more and to make sure I have more of a solid foundation before I try something like a more secular job, like I want to go into mechanical engineering. But, you know, a lot of people are just like, oh, so you're planning to come here for 1 year. How long is that going to last? You know, because lots of people decide, you know, I came here for 1 year and I ended up staying 4 years. Now I'm on staff and everything. Like, well, if that's God's plan, but maybe. But so far, that's my plan, to stay 1 year. So,
very good. So you're at Miller College of the Bible,
yeah,
in Saskatchewan, and you're at Columbia in BC. So what? What were some of the initial changes, challenges you faced as you went to college? You left this, and actually you had recently left the Philippines to here and then went to Saskatchewan. So just let us in on some of that journey, some of the challenges you faced connecting into the school there. What's that been like?
I guess I went to CBC a year and a half ago, and I'm in my second year. And I left Coaldale, which is like small, to the suburbs of Vancouver, which is huge. And there's a big culture difference. I feel like I'm a minority because I'm white, and there's a lot of Indo-Canadian people and people from India, and it's hard to communicate. So that was kind of a barrier that I found when I went to go get groceries at the grocery store, because they can't speak the language very well. And then as for the school, going in and finding a home church, it's kind of Mennonite Central out in Abbotsford, so, I mean, there's millions of churches. And so just finding the right one for me was a little bit of a challenge, so it took me about 4 months to find one that I wanted to go to. So that was one of the challenges that I faced there. In school, I left my family and everyone else here, and so making friends was kind of easy. I met one girl the first day of school, and we've been friends ever since, but that was also one of those things that I was away from home and didn't know anybody and didn't know the area. And so making friends was one of the easier things to do.
That's good. So you connected into a church after 4 months. First, I go right on. It's amazing how many students go away and they don't actually connect into the church. They become bedside Baptists or whatever else. Why did you... where did you learn that was a priority, and why did you make that decision?
I wanted to plug into a church just because I've grown up going to church my whole life, and it was like, this is important. I go to Bible college, and yes, I learn about God and the Bible in school, but it's more for my personal relationship with God that I wanted to work on, and so going to church was something that I had to prioritize because it was, my faith was on the line. So finding a church that was going to fit my needs and had a young adults program and offered internship programs and stuff too was something I was looking for. And it took till about last year, or actually this year, January, that I finally was like, one of the pastors at a church there was like, hey, you should come to my church. And I was like, okay. So I went, and I've been there ever since. So it was really good to plug in that way.
Excellent. Good. Can you tell some of your journey? And you can include... from
this
Philippines
is about changes,
to here,
right?
If you want. Yeah, okay. Yeah, but some of the things you experienced in the initial transition landing in Miller.
Okay.
There.
So I'm just recently out of high school, so I've been living with my parents for, I guess it's 18 years now. And now I go to college, and they're just like, bye now, you know, don't go. Because my parents provide pretty much everything for me, and now I got to look after myself. I had to learn how to do the laundry. I had to learn, I had to get myself up out of bed on time and everything. Still working on that. And I had to make sure that I went to church on Sunday. I had to make sure I got a ride. It's kind of hard because I don't really know people. I'm just like, hey, can I ride? And they're like, sure. I don't really like going up to people I don't really know, so that's been kind of a challenge as well. Mm-hmm. Also, you said there's like, everyone's like not white. Well, I come here and everybody's white. You know, there's like one or two Asians at my school. I'm just like, this is making me insecure. You know, I always talk to Asians, and so it's been interesting getting to know white people now and learning about white people things. Like, all my friends are like, oh yeah, I went hunting the other day and I shot a deer, and I'm like, is that normal? Yeah, definitely a cultural difference. People's values are slightly different and everything. I had no friends, really. I knew like one person, two people, which I had met like a month before at another place. So making new friends, definitely, but I made a few. I joined up with the weird people, the nerds who enjoy the stuff I do, but found it surprising that I started getting to know some other guys in my hall who are more the serious guys, more like the people I usually don't hang around with, but I found out they're really great guys, and they're also very supportive. Like one of my friends, he's one of the nerds, but he just some of the choices that he's made, deciding what he will, like the movies he'll watch, the movies, like the shows he'll watch, he's a big gamer, the games he'll play and everything, he'll put some away and say, I'm not going to play these at all or watch these at all because of like even some things that we might take for granted. Like he did a paper on like the occult, and one of the games he played, he just discovered that it incorporated something that the Bible just does not agree with, and he says, I'm not playing this anymore. So he's made a pretty big impact on me. Just, you got to make those choices, and they'll impact you, even in the slightest. Like, you may take them for granted, but like they'll impact your other decisions as well. Just choosing to take a stand against the things that might hurt your walk with God.
Very good, thanks. Yeah, other people really do impact us a lot, don't they? I also would have loved to have had a few people up here going to university and many other. You guys are both in Bible college settings. Both Beverly and I are graduates of Ontario Bible College and also went to seminary. I realize that sometimes they can become bubbles from the world, but it's great to push out into the world. Like I say, I've mentioned here several times, my doing street ministry every week and being involved in other ministries outside there made theology real, and just kept me much more grounded and balanced, I found. One, they can become a bubble and almost a safe haven, but they can also have a negative impact in that I've walked with several people who are learning so much about God that they're not growing in their relationship with God anymore in that setting. And have you found either of those been part of your journey, a tendency to stray from God and just learn about Him, or to just kind of rest, hey, I'm okay, I got this figured out? And either of you, any thoughts there? That's okay if you don't.
I think in classes we learn a lot about God and about His nature and His divinity and all those Bible-esque words, but I know for myself it becomes, like Gary said, it's a bubble, and going out of that bubble is really hard. Especially when, I mean, Columbia's big stick, I guess, is to go and follow your calling, make disciples of Christ. And And so getting out of that bubble with your friends and going, say, to the downtown east side of Vancouver where there's 30,000 homeless people and doing things like that. I mean, it's hard because it rattles your faith and it's like, wow, people are in this kind of situation. And it pushed me more to go to church because it's like, these people are like this way and I don't want to let that bubble turn me into something that I'm not. And so I had to make church a priority at that point and realize that I know a lot about God, but I need God in me to be able to go and share God with others. And so that's when it was like, I needed to find a church. And so I found a church, and now I feel like I'm becoming better equipped to go out of the college campus and to go work in, I work at a grocery store, so go and work with people who don't know Jesus and talk to people who don't know about God in that way. So, I mean, it's been encouraging to get off campus and go to the east side of Vancouver and see those things and talk to people who do know about Jesus in that way and to see how they know so little down there, but yet they believe so much that God does have a plan for some of their lives and stuff. So it's been good.
Thanks. Any thoughts there?
About the bubble, I come from a high school that was a bubble. We called it the Faith Bubble because it was Faith Academy. And it's just mostly a bubble because it's a Christian environment and we're all missionary kids. Well, mostly missionary kids. And coming here, it's kind of one of the reasons I wanted to go to Miller is because it sort of had a similar bubble, but it was a little more open, I guess, because a lot of people, they go into town and everything, and we do missions trips. Like, I'm in the Miller Chorale, which is the singing group. Don't worry, we're changing the name to something more interesting. And we've just recently, in the past month or two, we've been going out to care homes and to some churches as well, and putting on some Christmas programs for people. And in the care homes, after we sing, which is nerve-wracking because I don't know these people, and then we have to go and talk to these people, and I'm like, people I don't know. And just some of my friends are really comfortable with talking to other people, and I'm just standing there in a corner. I'm like, what do I do? And just having to talk to some of these people, and my friends are all having like conversations about like, what do you believe, and things like that. But I've just been talking to them about, you know, how are you, what's your name, just getting to know people first. I haven't had any major conversations about God, but I'm also something I need to work on. But you know, just and we also, you know, the program is basically telling the gospel as well. But I know I also shouldn't just rely on that. Just I should also bring up things in conversation. Oh, and a recent assignment from my Torah class is I had to share the gospel with a couple of my friends. And that was like, oh no, because I don't like talking to people. And so I thought of two friends in particular, because most of my friends basically are Christians, or I believe are Christians right now, or admit to being Christians, but I just thought of these two friends who I knew were struggling, and so I Facebooked them, and I said, hey, how's it going? And they told me about their lives and everything, and said, so how's your walk with God going? And one of my friends like, you know, I have some problems with God. I know he exists, but I don't think he wants me in his life or anything. So I did my best to encourage him and assure him, you know, God is love. God loves the world. He loves you. And he definitely wants to be in your life. And I had another friend, he said he's an agnostic. And just kept putting up question walls. That's what I call him. You know, he's like, what about this? What about this? And what about this in the Bible? And, you know, it's just a struggle to really new experience to talk to people about God who aren't like, don't have a relationship like me, where I'm mostly comfortable about talking about God and everything. And there's now I'm talking to people who aren't so comfortable about that and have problems with that. So yeah, it's kind of extending out of the bubble, and it's really helped me.
That's good. Not that the bubble doesn't need to be only negative. Bubble can be a great training ground. This should be a safe place, should be a form of bubble for us as well. Equip, train, and yet we're not supposed to keep that message to ourselves. We're push out, and it should give us the confidence, just like a healthy home should help us go with more confidence into the world, but and take on that challenge. So it's not a negative thing. In fact, I would strongly encourage the next generations of children and youth to spend at least a year of intentional discipleship at a Bible college or a Cape and Ray or some sort of thing, going on a missions trip where it's intentional growing your relationship with God, because it's grounding for life. We sometimes just dive in and get a career. So I applaud. That's awesome. You know, whether it's a career that we're training for in a longer program or a 1 year, both are transformational in who we are as people. And God's more about developing our connect character than he is about clarifying just what we're going to do with life. So you're both on a significant and a wise journey there. I also realize even just within the bubble, there's that life smacks us in the face sometimes. Life is hard. Going to get more personal here now, but is there a time where you want to describe where you felt like you were moving off track, losing focus in some way? And what helped you move in a healthy direction again? What were some of the hindrances or temptations you faced? And what scriptures have been a piece of that? Kind of a big question, but...
So I was a youth leader in my first semester, actually my first year of school. And it was a church on campus, and I didn't like it at all. And so going to church every Sunday was kind of rough. I kind of just dropped it, and I was like, I'll go to youth group tonight, and I'll see the kids, but I won't go to church during the morning. And so I wasn't getting anything from the services, and it just wasn't something that I really enjoyed. And so I would just go for the youth group. And then later on, when I came back in January, I was like, Kate, I want to find a new church. So I made it kind of my mission to go find a different church. And so it was actually a weekend. It was at the Canadian Youth Worker Conference that I went to for one of my classes. And I met one of the pastors that used to work at the E-Free Church in Lethbridge. And I kind of connected with him for a little, for 5 minutes. And he let me know that they had an internship program, and they have a youth group that they need a grade 6 girls youth leader. And he was just beefing this up, and I was like, okay, this sounds awesome. And so I was praying about it, and finally I was like, okay, well, I want to go check this church out, because I don't know. I don't know what it's like. I don't know where it is. And then I learned that it was out by the airport, which is like a 5-kilometer bike ride there and then back to the school. And so finding transportation for that was really hard. However, I was blessed with a bicycle to bike ride to church and back. And it's a lot of effort to get up before church to begin with, but biking to church and then biking back from church, that was a little bit more challenging, but that kind of got me back to find out what my calling is and where God is leading me in. Got plugged into the youth group. I'm a grade 6 girls youth leader. I interned at the church this summer in their children's ministry program, doing the VBS program for 200 kids, which was absolutely amazing. Pros and cons to both, but I learned a lot. And I think when I had a significant person was like, I want you to come to my church, I want you to lead in this way, that almost pushed me towards, you know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And it almost solidified why I'm at school and why I'm learning what I'm learning, so I can continue to go and lead young people and lead children and youth. And I'm part of the young adults leadership team at the church too. And so being part of those things as well, and to help do life with people and just not have it focused around me. But I mean, there's been rough spots along the way where I just didn't want to intern anymore, and I got a concussion during my internship, and I didn't want to continue because I was like, this is stupid. What am I doing? And it just took a lot of prayer and a lot of people coming alongside me and doing life with me to make me realize that, you know, this is good. What you're doing is good, and we value you, and you belong here, and we want you here. And so, yeah, it was a good learning experience.
Great.
I guess, you know, one of the things that has been kind of a low point for me is I don't like doing assignments at all. And so often I will do whatever I want instead of writing those assignments, like 10-page papers and 8-page papers and things like that. And so instead I will just watch movies or something like that. And finally at the last minute I'm like, oh no, I gotta do this, and I'll cram it into a night and literally get it in like 1 minute before it's due. And so it's kind of, after a few repeats of this, I've been just like, you know, what am I doing? This is, how am I honoring God with this? How am I honoring anybody with this? How am I honoring my teachers, being respectful to anybody with this? So I guess I'm still working on just working, being organized, being, I don't know how to describe it, being responsible, which has always been a pretty big thing in my life. So I guess I'm starting to work on that right now, and kind of that lowish part, and I don't really know how to describe it. So I've been reminded just of a few verses, like in Proverbs, who doesn't work shall not eat, and that's kind of like, and the Bible's pretty harsh in some respects like that, and it's harsh for a reason. So definitely something that I need to work on, and I can't do that on my own. Definitely I'm going to need God's help and strengthen my relationship with God before I can get better at anything like that.
Yeah, in some sense, right? Ever since the fall, we do want to coast through life and take the easiest way, but even dung flows downhill. We do want to get through with minimum, but it's interesting that God's word, you know, brings that kind of conviction. What do I want to achieve with life, and how to persevere through an internship, right? But also, you know, those significant people that come alongside us and go, hey, call us to hire. And our sense of calling to something that's bigger. I'm part of something bigger, right? I'm living for Christ, and I'm being, what am I pointing people to him or away from him, or just trying to be neutral and safe? Yeah, those are powerful journeys, life lessons that we all need to keep learning. How to walk through that. What has someone specific done for you that's made a positive difference in your life?
The pastor that I met at the youth worker conference, basically he called me to a higher level, a higher standard of leadership, because at that point I wasn't really leading. I was half kind of leading a Christ life, like life, but I wasn't fully in for God. And so he called me out on it and was like, you need to be present with God and make it a priority. And then met with me twice over food, which was awesome because college students don't have money. So he took me out for food twice, which was awesome. Basically talked to me about my life and how it was transitioning from here to there and things like that. And then he prayed with me and just asked for God's leading over my life, and that God would just kind of open doors that needed to be open and close doors that needed to be closed. And I was actually anticipating to go home this past April to work and stuff. But after meeting with Jer, he was like, no, like praying for me. And I was praying about what to do over the summer. And God made it known that I was supposed to stay in Abbotsford and intern. And so, like Gary said, having significant people in your life who kind of who speak into your life and pray with you and do life with you and want you to lead with integrity is something that I've constantly been learning. And then recently, I've connected with a woman who lives in Wetaskiwin, and she also went to CBC and took the same program that I did, and she's my mentor, and she's great, and we Skype and whatnot, and we just do life together, and it's just to have significant people in my life when I'm being a significant person to my grade six girls and to some of the other, like, my friends' lives and stuff. It's great that I have people like that who can play a role in and play into my faith, but just do life with me and talk Christ with me, and we can read the Bible together and go for coffee together, and it's just I love having people in my life who can speak truth and not really worry about what society says about that stuff. And it's one of the things that I had to get used to really quick is praying with people in public. I've come to just accept it, and now I'm one of those people that does do it. And I went for coffee with one of my really good friends, and just she was going through some stuff, and it was like, you know what, I'm just going to pray for you. And we were walking through the mall, and it was like, so we stopped kind of in the middle, and we're those people that just kind of block the way so other people can't get by, which was probably not too good, but I just prayed for her and things like that. And, you know, it wasn't just to show people that I'm praying for her, but she talked to me a couple days after, and she's like, you know what, like, that meant a lot to me, and things like that. So, I mean, I like having people to lead me closer to Christ, and then I can lead people closer to Christ and point them in the right direction. So, it's been a good experience to have people like that.
Right on. Anybody in particular come to your mind, Aaron, that's...
Not super particular, but I've noticed just like my high school, the teachers at Miller really care about you, and they care so much that they'll reprimand you when you're not doing something right. So a few times in the beginning, like my Hebrew teacher says, Aaron, what are you doing? Your head's on your desk most of the class, and just clean up your act. And my chorale teacher says, Aaron, what are you doing? It doesn't seem like you want to be part of the group, like you're not very motivated and everything. And I'm just like, okay, I got to turn this around. So I was thinking, Aaron, what are you doing? Why did you come to Miller? What are you doing at Miller? Are you going to waste it going in at like 25%? Or are you going to make the most out of what you're doing here? And are you going to be respectful to your professors? So it's been a struggle, but I've cleaned up most of that, and I haven't had any talks since that. And so I just feel that my professors are there to help me along. My Torah professor, he's my favorite professor, because he's so interesting and he's a lot like me. But I feel like I can be really real with him. I can ask him like any question, and he's very honest and blunt. I just feel like all my professors.
Right on. It is encouraging, isn't it, when someone takes an interest in us, takes us for a meal, or speaks into our lives some truth, helps us ask some of the harder questions, not just let us coast whatever direction. And then to be able to pass that on to others as well, right? It's not like you're asking for the right answers, but people to do life with you, walk with you. What's something that you'd like to tell your home church about your experience? Is there something that comes to mind that would have been helpful? Or, yeah, what else would you like to tell your home church? Anything else come to mind?
I decided to take a year before doing like any other like studying in like where you're surrounded by people who don't believe Christianity or anything. It's great to just take a year at least to study the Bible. Like I came in there, I'm like, yeah, I know a lot about the Bible. First day, no, I don't. And this is the reason that I love my Torah class, my Torah professor, because he proved me, Aaron, you don't know anything. So like I'm learning about how everything in the Bible ties together, how God's shown, like given symbols of what he's about to do. Like Joseph, he was the, like Joseph, the Prince of Dreams, you know. He used the word paradigm of Jesus. And also Moses was a lot like Jesus. I'm like, how? I mean, I know he did a bunch of great stuff. No, it's a lot of things that they did. Like Moses was from the tribe of Levi. He was a priest. He was also a leader, and in some ways like a king. Oh yeah, because he was a prince. And Joseph, he was a prince, leader. He married into the priestly line. And just all how everything ties together. The Bible isn't just a book of rules and a book of stories. It's a living book, is I guess how I would describe it. Everything God tied everything together, and how mankind was like they had no idea this was coming, but God tied it together anyway, you know. And so basically, there's so much more you can learn about the Bible when you study it, and when people challenge you to learn more as well. So I think it's a great idea to learn more about the Bible, because with the Bible you'll never know anything, like everything, not anything, everything.
Yeah, always growing and learning. Good. Anything else you want to share with your church?
So, like I said, I'm in the youth work program at CBC, and I mean, I've talked a lot about being a relational person and such, but I have found that being a leader and leading young people is one of the most important things that any person can do. Just to sew in 2 hours of time into a youth group. And just build relationships with students is one of the most rewarding things I think I've ever been a part of. And then going from youth group and then transitioning to a youth leader, I grew so much in my 12th grade year in youth group that it kind of pushed me in the right direction to go into youth work as kind of a calling. And that, you know, the little moments of just having a leader just be like, hey, we're going to Tim Hortons after youth group, you should come, is one of the things that, you know, I found most valuable, because people wanted to spend time with me and I just wasn't another student. And so being able to invest well in my small group, and then being invested well while I was in youth group, was one of the most encouraging things I've been like that I've experienced. And now being able to lead with my small group girls and stuff like that, like it's very rewarding. So yeah,
very good. Well, thank you for sharing some of your journeys, your stories. I want to pray for them, and then we'll have our closing song. And Heavenly Father, thank you that you lead us and guide us, and you do bring people into our lives to speak truth, words of encouragement, words of exhortation and challenge, and call us to hire. You came to serve and not be served. And we're called to serve as well, but served as equipped ones. And you want to meet us powerfully. I pray that as Aaron and Caitlin go back to their respective schools, you would continue to encourage them, to build them up, to give them insights into who you've created them to be, that they could live out of the fullness of life that you've called them to. You've called us to abundant life. You've made it possible, Jesus, and often we're not stepping into it. And Father, I pray you'd challenge each of us sitting here. We would think of people in our lives. Do we have a coach and a mentor who speaks into our lives? Do we allow that to people to speak into our lives? How can we build that kind of relationship? With who are we building a shoulder to shoulder and doing life with as brothers and sisters in Christ? And bring one or two people to our minds that we can mentor. It sounds like a big, ominous term. And yet it's just coming alongside them and pointing out the things that we see in their lives and taking time to listen more than it is to speak often, letting them know that they are valuable to you and to us and encouraging them in some way. Help us do life together, God. Be willing to journey with one another. And in the midst of it, we'll experience more of your glory, more of your goodness, and more of you bringing about fruit in us and through us. And we thank you in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen.